This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti, again going solo without my beautiful wife, Remy. I had a lot of work this week in New York, and I'm back from there, and she's busy with the kids, being an awesome mom, taking care of everything. Every time I travel, she's doing everything possible to make sure the kids are in great shape with everything they're doing, even taking them to football practice. I missed a football practice this week. I hate missing a football practice, but I'm back for a game. It's great to be with all of you on all of our radio affiliates across the country, and if you're listening to the podcast, truly appreciate that as well. Our special guest is Pro Football Hall of Fame running back Curtis Martin. He played for the Jets and the Patriots. Also, my friend Dwayne Walton, the executive director of the Parkersburg Point, joins me to talk about the great work the Point is doing for youth in their area of Pennsylvania. So stay tuned for those conversations. We're going to have Dwayne on shortly. So I just want to get into something very quickly today, and it is about opposition. Oftentimes we face opposition when we're doing kingdom work, and you're going to feel that no matter where you are or what level of ministry you're contributing and doing. And I feel like we need some encouragement sometimes, and there's no better way to encourage than to let you know that Jesus faced opposition. Often, Jesus ended up dying on the cross because of opposition. But what he did when he faced opposition is, first, he exposed people's motives and the motives of the Pharisees and the motives of those who were against him. And there are so many examples of that. But Jesus also looked for peace. He looked for ways to be peaceful. For example, when Peter cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, Jesus said, put your sword back. And this is in Matthew 26, put your sword back in place, and for all those who take the sword will perish by the sword. So Jesus looked for peace. We should look for peace, even when we face opposition. And that applies to everything we do, even beyond ministry. If you're not in ministry, if you're listening to the show and you haven't gone down that path, you're not there at that point in your life, you may never be there, but we're all going to face opposition no matter what it is that we're doing. We should look for peace. Jesus also prayed whenever he faced opposition. And there's examples, again, of that in Matthew 26, and Jesus is praying. And there he also remained silent at times when he's arrested, and they said to him, are you not going to answer? And he didn't. He just remained silent. And Jesus loved when he faced opposition. He loved other people. So it's just a quick message today as we get into these conversations with Dwayne and Curtis, that when you face opposition, no matter where it is or what part of your life or how it's happening, think of the way Jesus handled opposition. He sought peace, he prayed, he stayed silent, and he just loved on people. All right, we're going to lead off today with Dwayne Walton. He is the executive director at the Parkersburg Point. I've known Dwayne for several years. He's been there for going on 19 years. So I want you to hear from Dwayne and the fantastic work that they're doing at Parkersburg, because they got a beautiful event that I'm partnering up with them. So stay tuned. Dwayne, welcome to Faith on the Field, man. It's great to have you on. And I'm really excited about what's coming up next week with Nick Sirianni. But first, tell me a little bit about what you do and what Parkersburg Point is all about.
Yeah. I'm blessed and honored to be the executive director of the Point, going on 19 years. So right out of college, the Point was a dream of mine. My life got transformed on a basketball court through the ministry of Campus Crusade. And the one thing I knew is that I wanted to impact young people the same way, especially using sports and activities, and showing them there's so much more to life and more to what they can accomplish. So we are a community center, 33,000 square feet, full indoor basketball gym. We have boxing, we have esports, a cafeteria that serves over 100 students in the evening. And we just have great programs and great people. We partner with over 75 churches. 30 of those churches are at our center once a month. Each church have a different night, working with the students, providing meals and serving them. So it's just an approach to serving a community where we take the resources that are in our churches, in our places of faith, and say, well, we believe these kids deserve that also. And so rather than they have to come to our church to receive it, we feel that the churches should go to them. And our community center becomes a common ground where both the church and the community can meet and take care of each other.
And it gives it the kids an opportunity, right? After school, this is what's the time frame? What's it like a day in the life of being at the Parkersburg Point? Like, this is a place for them to be able to go after school as opposed to being out on the streets or whatever else they may be doing.
Exactly, right? So growing up, I used to go to the PAL or the Boys and Girls Club or the YMCA, and those programs are great. The one thing I would say, though, is that I often came out the way I went in, not because they weren't doing good work. It's just because, you know, I needed more. I needed not just activity, but I needed someone sharing hope with me. And so it's an after school program, but we actually are on the two main campuses most of our kids come from, Octorera and Coatesville. So our staff are on their campus, in their halls, sometimes in their classrooms, serving them and serving the administration. And then later on, after school, they see those young men and women again and in a different context, the after-school context. So it's almost like a wraparound service. We're at the schools with them, and then we're at the community center. And we also make ourselves available even in the evening because we have a hotline that students can call if there's any challenges they have.
Now, I've had an opportunity to visit the campus, to be there for several events over the years, from Tim Tebow, Brian Dawkins. We even brought Brandon Graham to a couple of the schools earlier this year. What is that impact like when we are able to have these conversations with some of these higher profile athletes that some of the young men look up to?
Yeah, and I hope you know that you've been incredibly transformative to the work that we do by partnering with us this way. But listen, sports captures the imagination. As a kid, my father was a professional soccer player from the country. I'm from Guyana, and I never had a relationship with him. And it hurt me because other people liked him a lot and thought highly of him, and he was never a part of my life. But you know, because he was an athlete, everyone wanted to know him. And so I think of the kids at our center and in our communities. Every Sunday, every evening, they're watching some sports figure, dreaming that they could be like them or just dreaming to meet them. And when we're able to bring these men and women to our community center and to our local schools, these kids can actually touch them and see them and talk to them. But they're hearing a message of encouragement. They're not hearing how many cars they have or how many homes they have. They're hearing about some of their struggles and how they've been able to overcome it and how faith is important to them. And living right and honorably is as important to them as being an incredible athlete on a field or a basketball court. And so it really does, it's what we always wanted, right? We do want our athletes to be role models. We really do. And there's many of them who are saying, I'll take that burden. And then when you bring them in contact with young people in our communities, it really allows these kids to strive for more. And they feel better about themselves, too, because they met Brandon Graham. They met Brian Dawkins. I mean, it says so much. And you've been there. They have older men and women who are just as excited to take a photo with these. So for our community, it means a lot. And it says that they do matter. They're not invisible. And that these athletes don't mind coming to where they are and hanging out with them for a few hours.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure and a privilege to partner with you guys. I love your heart, how genuine you are about giving back and being able to help all of these young kids as they grow up in these communities. Now we have a big one coming up with Nick Sirianni. Just tell me a little bit about Coach Nick, wanting to have him there, bring him onto the campus, and also what goes into planning an event of this magnitude.
It's a huge deal for our community. Nick Sirianni, Coach Sirianni, he's so respected in our community because he's been able to take a team and build it in a way that success is happening every week because of hard work. Yeah. You know, they're fighting. Nothing comes easy. It's not just a bunch of talented guys just doing what they do and it comes easily to them. Everything is a battle. Everything is a fight. And that's where our kids go through every day. And they need to know that there is success on the other side of that. And one of the reasons why we thought Coach Sirianni would be perfect for us is because as a community center that's faith-based, you know, we're limited in what we can actually accomplish, right? Because and the kids and the needs they have are far greater than the resources we have. And so we need a team. We need the churches. We need the law enforcement. We need the schools. We need the sponsors and the businesses helping. We need a team. And so Coach Sirianni has been able to put together a very effective team, and we like it. We like the way the Eagles have been constructed. And just judging by the players and how they interview and the humility they all have and their ability to take responsibility when things don't go right, that's exactly what you need for success on our level. And so we're excited to have him. And I think he's respected from the students to the teachers, to the pastors, everyone is like, this guy is the type of man we respect and want to hear from. And, but what goes into this is we have to raise money, and in order to do that, I have a team of people that go out and ask, and so that we can even afford to bring some of these celebrities in. But the big part for what we do is that every activity, every program, our scholarships to send students to school, trade school, college, we don't charge students anything. Mm. In fact, if we monetize our program, we would not be able to offer the services to the students. So we just have to go out there and work hard. And when we bring a celebrity, a coach of the Eagles, it allows people who would never take a look at our organization to take a look. Even though they're looking to coach Nick, they then see the good work that we do and perhaps will say, hey, how can I help? How can I be a part of this? So that's why we do it. It is hard work. But we have a great team, and we have our local schools that are very much supportive. We're expecting about 5 or 6 football teams from around our county to be there at this event. These are high school students, varsity. Wow. They're going to hear from perhaps the best coach in football right now. Imagine that. And so, we're all excited, and we can't wait.
And Dwayne, if anyone, any of the listeners just really want to reach back and give and help out with everything you're doing at Parksburg Point, how can they get some of that information? Where can they go to?
Yeah, we have a website, parksburgpoint.com. That's PARKESBURGPOINT.com. Give you all their information. If they were interested in buying tickets for the event, it's on October 25th. They can. If they're interested in sponsoring, there's a link there for sponsoring also. But I just would love for them to just go and read about our organization and the programs we offer. And just keep in mind that we are, we really believe that faith is a big part of the discussion with young people. So many of them are hopeless, even though they're surrounded by affluence. And that's something that we should all be very worried about, that we have been able to give our kids largely stuff that we never had. But it hasn't resulted in necessarily them being happier. It hasn't resulted with them being more motivated. So something is absent. And we really believe that it's faith in Christ and knowing who you are, that you were created in God's image. He loves you, and he sent his son to pay the ultimate sacrifice for you. And when we connect that to everything else, sports, academics, we see some real flourishing with our young people. I'll say this to end off. I grew up in New York City, poor. By the time I was 15, two of my uncles were murdered. My father was murdered. My mother had been homeless. I witnessed one of my uncles get murdered, and I was hopeless. No one would have been able to tell. Because on the basketball court, I was having a lot of fun, and I was scoring, and I looked normal, but inwardly I was broken, and I was expecting my own death at a very young age. And it wasn't until Campus Crusade for Christ came on my school campus and had an open gym. And after a basketball game, someone told me that Jesus loved me. And it seems so cliche. It seems so normal that you hear that, but it changed my life, because I realized that I wasn't alone. And that even in the pain, God had a purpose. And so that's what we're trying to communicate to our clients, to the community, that God is the most important part of the equation of life. And if he can transform my life and give me purpose, he can do that for everyone else. So that's what we do. And we'll use all the activities and the programs just to get that message out to young people.
Amen. Well, looking forward to it. I can't wait for this event. Dwayne, love what you're doing, and appreciate the friendship.
And Rob, you've been an incredible blessing to us. So thank you.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desires to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hairy Egg Breakfast Sandwich, made with two farm-fresh eggs, cheese, choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll, makes morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz and Watson premium meats and cheeses, freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show. I'm Rob Motti. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience on any of the podcast platforms. We have the full interviews on there, just in case sometimes we may cut them a little bit short for radio like we did this week. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend or two about the show. If you would like to be a sponsor, please reach out to us and help our ministry grow. You can reach us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have so many different packages we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal has always been to be on a sports radio station in every state. If you don't have a business to advertise, but you want to help the ministry, we also have a donate button on our page on faithonafieldshow.com. We are now a 501c3. Curtis Martin played 11 seasons in the NFL, first three in New England with the Patriots, and his last eight seasons with the New York Jets. He ran for over 14,000 yards, had 100 touchdowns rushing and receiving. Curtis made the Pro Bowl five times. He was a first or second team All-Pro three times and was inducted into the 2012 Pro Football Hall of Fame class. Curtis is passionate about making sure young children get a great education and have the right mentors. He's involved with Jumpstart for Young Children's program. Here is my conversation with Curtis Martin. Curtis, welcome to the show. Great to have you on. Really appreciate your time, man. And I want to talk about so many different topics with you. But first, let's start with, you're a Hall of Fame running back. You played your career with the New York Jets and the New England Patriots. They've had some difficulties this season. The Jets seem to have rebounded after losing Aaron Rodgers, and the Patriots are off to a tough start. Let's start with the Jets. How closely have you watched this team, and what do you think they can do? Because they still have a great run game and a powerful defense.
Yeah, well, Breece is one of my favorite running backs in the league right now. I think I love his vision. You can tell that he has great vision, and he knows he's a very efficient runner. He may not make you miss a million times, but he knows how to, he knows angles, and he has speed. So he's one of my favorite running backs in the NFL. I think the Jets, at the end of the day, of course, losing someone like Roger, who I think is one of the best quarterbacks in the league to this day. And I think he's one of the best that we've ever seen. Losing a player like that is always a hit to your team, and it usually takes a while to rebound. I remember when Vinny Testaverde went out, when we had a real good chance of going to the Super Bowl. We were one of the favorites. He went out very similar to Rodgers in the first quarter of the new season of the first game. But it took us a little bit of time to recover from that and get back on track.
And then when you look at the Patriots and the struggles that they've had, you look at how that team had so much success. We talk about the Patriot way and the six Super Bowl champions, but Tom Brady's not there anymore. Bill Belichick's got to find a way to get it done with the pieces and the players that he has. Do you think it's all dependent solely on they lost that quarterback, they lost the GOAT, and now it was all him, or can they find a way? They did go to the playoffs one year, a couple of years ago, with Mac Jones. Can they find their way?
They'll eventually find their way. Belichick is a heck of a coach. I think he's one of the best coaches ever. I think the combination of him and Brady is what we saw for so many years that seemed to be unstoppable. They haven't had as much success since Brady has left, but any time that you lose that type of leadership as well as that type of expertise at that position in particular, it's going to take you a little bit of time. And I think they're still in there. They're still developing and figuring out how to move on without Brady, because I mean, the numbers don't lie. You see the record that they have and the struggles that they're having. But I think Belichick is a great coach, and I think that he'll figure it out and they'll get back on track.
You played for some great coaches, Bill Parcells twice in both stops. You played for Pete Carroll even. You played for Herm Edwards. What were those coaching philosophies like for you, just to be able to be around guys and learn from them and the impact that they had on you as a young man at the time?
Well, Bill Parcells in particular, I don't think that I would have had, I know that I wouldn't have had the NFL career that I had without him. He not only taught me how to be a professional, but he also gave me a lot of insight on what it takes to be a man and how to handle a career in the NFL. To this day, he's probably one of the closest men that I have in my life to a father or a father figure. He and I are extremely close. And so without him, there's no way my career would have been what it was. I definitely wouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame.
It's obviously important to have positive role models, Curtis. And I know you're involved with Jumpstart for Young Children's Early Care and Education Program, which advances equitable learning outcomes for young children by recruiting and supporting caring adults to deliver high quality programming and drive systems change through teaching, advocacy, and leadership. You had, before even getting to the NFL, before reaching that stage and having an opportunity to be coached by Bill Parcells and have him have that impact on you, who were some of the positive role models that you had? And tell me about Jumpstart and why this is so important to you.
Well, the reason why Jumpstart is so important to me is because, you know, I grew up in a place where I hardly ever heard any of my friends talking about even reading a book. And the fact that they're able to help children learn to read at a much faster pace, at a much earlier age, I think it gives them an advantage that I didn't have. And many kids who grew up in environments like mine, we didn't have. I was explaining how sometimes I remember a lot of kids didn't really want to go to school, and they didn't like school simply because they weren't good readers. And one of the most embarrassing things for little kids is standing up in front of the class and having to read out loud, and you're not a really good reader. So I think that Jumpstart is, because reading is such a fundamental thing to life. And, you know, anytime that you struggle there, you're going to struggle in life. And so I think that they're removing one of the impediments that hinders so many children growing up in the types of environments that they serve.
And I think back a few years ago, maybe decades ago, sometimes they couldn't even diagnose. Some children might have some issues reading, as far as it could be dyslexia or something along those lines. And now we're doing better jobs in the schools and with those programs of just even diagnosing that. But like you said, it is so important for kids to learn. It starts there, right? It starts with reading before you can progress and do anything else. Well, when did this become this area, something that you wanted to highlight, emphasize, and be involved in?
Well, you know something, I have a friend, his name's Chris Stadler. He introduced me to Jumpstart. Mm-hmm. And when I just, you know, heard about Jumpstart's mission, that's what made me interested, because I realized how we can help so many kids not grow up the way I did. You know, fortunately, I was able to pick up. I was smart enough to learn how to read at a very young age. But there's so many of my friends that I watched struggle, not just in school, but what happens is that when you can't read well, you end up not being able to communicate well. You know, in the environment that I grew up in, I saw a lot of people either lose their lives or come in harm's way simply because violence would break out because there was a lack of communication. And I find that instead of communicating sometimes when you can't express yourself, a lot of people just, their emotions take over and they act out instead of speaking out. And I've seen that happen several times. And just to understand what Jumpstart is doing, like that's where the passion in my heart comes from. Not only are they, you know, helping to better a life, I believe that they're giving people confidence. I think that they're helping people, you know, as they mature and as they get older, it makes it much more likely that they'll be able to find a better job. There's so many different things that's connected to reading. And I believe that they're really knocking down a lot of those hurdles that a lot of people have to try to jump over.
When did you realize that football might be a way for you, a way out for you, a way for you to be able to have a better life and obviously a great career?
Well, football for me, I realized that when it really clicked was on draft day. True story, when they called my name and all my friends and family were jumping up and so happy for me. And I just turned to him. I said, I really don't want to play football. And there was a guy there by the name of Leroy Joseph, very wise man. And he said, well, Curtis, maybe all of those wonderful things that you say you want to do for other people, maybe football is just that vehicle that you've been blessed with to do those things. And it was from that moment that it clicked for me. And so throughout my career, I'm always going to give my all when I'm on the field. I'm always going to, you know, my bone has to be sticking out of my leg for me to come off the field. But I had one goal, and that one goal for my entire career, I wrote it down in my locker. It was to finish the game with a name that was worth more than the money I made, you know, because I felt like there's a whole lot of life after football. Most of us are finished by the time we're 30. There's a whole lot of life left. And I wanted to use my career to impact lives in a positive way, to build relationships that I would be able to, you know, use after my career was over to do business with different people who I formed relationships with. And so I think that, and I wish that most professional athletes would take a similar approach. I'm not saying that I had the right approach, but is transitioning out of professional sports is a very difficult thing, because for most of us, that's all we've done all of our lives. And now we have to find a whole new career. And I've seen so many people suffer mentally, mental health declines so much after players retire. The divorce rate goes up, the spending goes out of control. There's a whole lot of different things that happens.
That man who gave you that advice, Leroy, how influential has he been or remained in your life? And what was he, a pastor? I think you may have said that.
Yeah, he was a pastor. Yes,
he was your pastor. Like, how did that relationship continue beyond that to develop?
Oh, we're still very close to this day. You know, he has six daughters, and he calls me his one son. You know, and so we're still very close to this day.
Those ideas of giving back and wanting to help others and wanting to be a positive impact on people in the world, you know, I think of it from a biblical standpoint. How much has your faith really kind of guided your principles, guided your way?
Well, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I know 100% that I truly believe that I would be dead if it wasn't for my faith. I think that was the only thing that was strong enough to encourage me to get out of my environment and to have the fortitude to persevere and things like that. You know, once I realized that, you know, at the end of the day, God has literally, I've literally had miracles. I told the story in my Hall of Fame speech about how a guy had a gun to my head and pulled the trigger 8 times and no bullet came out. Then, not pointing it at my head, pulled the trigger 1 time and the bullet came out. And so I've had very clear evidence that God is real, you know, and so I have no excuse. But my faith, it plays a major role in my life, period. It's the way I raise my kids. It's the husband that I am, the father that I am, the professional I am, the businessman that I am. Those principles guide my life.
Well, Curtis, I appreciate your time, man, and I wish you a ton of blessings and a ton of success in everything you do. I enjoyed watching you on the football field, and really enjoy seeing what you're doing now after football.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you. And it's definitely my pleasure, and look forward to the future.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Curtis Martin and Dwayne Walton. Thank you to Doug, Pastor Scott, and everyone on our team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. 1 in 4 are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.